says. We're done.
Father God, thank you for this meeting house and thank you for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you for giving people like us, as Mancy said, a place to come. We thank you for the 12 steps. We thank you for the direction in our lives. We thank you for our sponsors and our sponsees. Lord, we ask you to transform this meeting house tonight to your house. Help us to stay focused on your word. Help us to stay awake. And Lord, help us to carry this message when we leave here tonight out into the world, practicing these principles in all our affairs. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stevie B, and I'm an alcoholic.
Stevie.
And a proud member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
It's so good to be here with you guys tonight. Richie and Emilio, thank you for having us. Thank you for hosting the West Side Men's Group. And to this specific group, we're just really grateful. And, you know, for the people that live in this area, this meeting's going to go on next week. And there's going to be another great speaker. So come and check them out. I think it's going to be a woman.
We're not sure.
Okay, could be a woman. 50-50 chance it's going to be a woman. It's going to be good. I got so much to do. It's not going to be possible. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, I've been doing the steps most of my adult life. Those of you that have been here in the step series know that I came to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 22. I'm now 42. By the way, Joey, congratulations. A lot of people think Joey and I are twins. We are not. Okay? So let's get that out of the way right there. We just look a lot alike. And I've been doing the steps for 20 years, on and off. We just finished a step series. I worked the 12 step with my sponsor. I continue to work this 12 step in my life. My entire life is about the 12 step. And when I was preparing for this tonight, for some reason, I thought the step, and I'm going to go from behind. I'm going to go this way, and then I'm going to come back. I thought that the step said we tried to practice these principles in all our affairs. Somehow, I thought it said we tried to practice these principles in all our affairs. That's not what it says. It said we tried to carry this message to alcoholics, and we practiced these principles in all our affairs. It doesn't say anything about trying to practice these principles and all of it. It's assuming that you've had a spiritual awakening as of this point. It's assuming that as the result of these steps, you are a changed person, Eve, as you spoke about tonight. Now, I don't want you to have any fear about that. My friend in the back who said she's on the fourth step still. I don't want you to have any fear about that. For the people that have already done this, the 12 steps, then they might feel that they're at a plateau. They might feel like, isn't there anything more? I want to tell you that if you're at any of these areas, that you haven't finished the steps, or you finished the steps and you want to know if there's something more, there is something more. There's always something more. You see, carrying this message to other alcoholics and to human beings is a lifelong, incredible journey that happens day by day. It should never feel like a struggle. It should never feel like a have to. Because if you're doing it on your own power, the 12th step is going to feel like drudgery. You see, then you haven't had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Or that's the result. Everybody makes a big deal about it. As the result of these steps. Ooh. I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. But if you're doing it on your own power, you'll get tired. And the reason I know that is I was exhausted in my fourth year of sobriety. I was exhausted in my fourth year of sobriety. I'm saying to my friend because he's in his fourth year of sobriety. I was exhausted. And I took a look at my meeting schedule, and it wasn't even that exhausting, my meeting schedule. But I was running it on Steve's power. So I'm getting myself amped up, and I'm going to meetings, and I'm carrying the message, and I'm exhausted by Wednesday. Now, I'm not talking about work in the workplace. In the workplace, I'm exhausted by Monday morning, to be honest with you. But the 12-step, carrying the message, is exciting to me. I mean, I'm just amped up. I mean, I loved hearing the celebrants tonight. Matsy, who I just met over in Starbucks. Where is she, by the way? She just... Oh, there you go. She's like California. And Eve. But... I go up, I get peaked out, you know, I forgot that tonight was step night, so I was already peaked out like 15 minutes, but I was already amped up and throwing post-it notes out, and then I had to come back down. You see, what that means about being amped up is it's not coffee consumption, it's not anything that I took inside me, it's the power of the Spirit of God that totally gets me excited about going and doing this thing. Now, when you're running on that power, that endless power, you don't feel like any of this is drudgery. I'm going to just point out to you guys again, because, you know, I'm just in awe of what you guys do. They come down from Boca, Boynton Beach, Delray Beach. It's north of Broward. That's all I know. I'm not sure exactly the township, but it's far. And sometimes, because of our meeting schedule, what we do, sometimes they come down in the morning because we'll have an event. They'll come down in the morning with their families, with their wives, with their fiancés. Come down. We'll do a meeting, then they'll go all the way back up to Delray Beach and Boca, and then be down here again at night. Tonight we're going to go out to dinner. If anybody wants to come, we're going to the Italian restaurant. It's going to be separate checks. Richie, as you know, an alcoholic nightmare is going out to dinner with 72 alcoholics on the same check. That's enough to push you right over. Right? And tonight, they've come back down. We're going to go out to dinner. They're going to go home tonight at like midnight. And I know that they're going to do this all again tomorrow. That can't be done on our own power. For me, that has to be with the Almighty's power. See, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps means exactly that. We've had a spiritual awakening. And we just can't wait to carry it and tell people about it. And for the people that are here undercover from Narcotics Anonymous, I say welcome. I want you to know that you will not lose your NA card in any way, nor will anyone rat on you. But the 12-step is exactly the same in Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, and Celebrate Recovery. It's the same 12-step. Having experienced a relationship with God, the Creator, and having been changed from the inside out, as Matsy said tonight, that it's all about God. And as the big book says, the Lord has been so good to me, I just want to tell everybody about it. Why do we want to tell everybody about it? Because He's given us a new life. It's not just about not drinking and drugging, although that's an incredible byproduct of what He gives us. I mean, that's the best, that we don't drink and drug. Because without that, we don't have any of this. We're not picking up medallions. We don't care about Eve. We don't care about any. We only care about ourselves. We're self-centered. Not only do we have alcoholism, but for the people that, and there's plenty of people in here tonight that aren't in Alcoholics Anonymous that have alcoholism, we also have human beingism, and human beings are selfish. We think about ourselves most of the time, except in this instance. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. That means if you're thinking about drinking, who are you helping? You know, I got to use you, Matt, on this. Because Matt has more to deal with than most of us, because Matt was already, is it a quadriplegic at one time? You were already a paraplegic at one time. So which means he couldn't walk. He was not supposed to walk. The guy that you just seen came coming very speedily across the room to pick up his 90-minute speedster. That's what we call it. He wasn't supposed to be able to do that. You see, he broke his spinal cord. So when he calls me up and says, listen, life is not that good sometimes, and as we all whine to each other, if you're not whining to someone, you're bottling up, and you're going to whine to somebody, trust me. So it's good to whine to each other, and he'll call me up and say, listen, things aren't going well for me. And I'll never forget the time when, I mean, you know, he's up against most things. Most of us will drink and drug over a shoelace being broken. On any given day, his body gives out in 14 different ways, and he's not sure if he's going to get across the floor. And so he calls me up and he says, you know, my life isn't going the way I wanted. And this is what I immediately say to him. Who are you helping today? And you know, that's the worst thing that you want to hear when you're in self-pity. What do you mean, who am I helping today? Didn't you just hear what I just said? I got no money. I can't walk across the floor. And now I'm miserable. I understand, but who are you helping today? Because there's all, nothing ensures our sobriety, but nothing also ensures our emotional sobriety is getting out of our own way. And we have people in here that are professional. This is all they do is save people's lives. In this room tonight. That's all they do. They save people's lives. And they help other people save their lives, other people's lives. But let me tell you something. Even that, if you have alcoholism, will not be enough if you're not intensively working with people that are struggling staying sober. Because we have this thing that centers in our mind, that tells us we don't have it, that says we're already cured, that says it was last week's problem, that says that maybe we've changed. You know, my mother, who just had her 67th birthday, and she said to hi to everybody, and she wanted to be here, but she's in New York with her grandbabies. She has an allergy to crab. So one time they were at the crab house, and she was eating crab, and her throat closed, and they had to give her like a... She didn't go into shock, but she was right next to whatever that shock is. It's not good. It's a bad shock. It's like aphylactic or something. You know, whack, whack, something like that. It's a serious shock. And they were going to have to put a syringe into her heart and like bring her back. You know, that was 30 years ago. My mother has not eaten crab since. She just knows that she's not going to. She can't eat crab. She has an allergy to crab. I was 7 years without a drink and without a drug. And the last thing that I remembered, and I never told this story ever, Stevie, this is a new story that you never even heard this story. This is one I'm pulling out of the cupboards. I don't even know how I would tell it in here. But just in case, I'm not going to be able to figure out how to spin this in here. On Saturday mornings over at the Cleveland House, starting next week, we have a meeting that's a DA meeting, Eve. It's a dual addiction. It takes the principles from Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps from Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and Celebrate Recovery, and it starts at 8:30 in the mornings over at the Cleveland House. John and a bunch of the guys were there this morning. I challenge you to come out and have an open mind, because it's all about God. But looking at this room, I think this is a pretty open-minded room. If you're still here for the 12-step, okay, later on that. So that's 8:30 on Saturdays, and we'll be able to just say stuff like drugs and all that kind of stuff. But in here, I want to tell you that I pawned my car. I'm 24 years old, and I pawned my car for 12 $100 bills in 1995. 12 $100 bills. To a drug addict, that's like Bill Gates type of money. Okay, I had no money, and then I saw this ad in the paper in Minnesota that you can pawn your car. This was like revolutionary. This was pre-internet, pawn your car. And I go out there, and I say, I would like to pawn my car. And the guy says, yeah, I'll give you $1,200 for your Acura. Brand new. To me, I thought that was the greatest deal I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, are you sure? And then I say, can you drive me back into North Minneapolis? And North Minneapolis is the equivalent of Sistrunk down here. And he says, why would you want to go to North Minneapolis? I told him I have business to attend to in the hood. So he drives me into North Minneapolis. And I rush into this house, and I was sober about 3 months. I rush into this house, you know, when you haven't been around the neighborhood for a while, and the guys or gals that sells you your stuff, you know, they always act like it's so great to see you, like you're an old family member. Okay, so they were like, Stevie, what's up? So great to see you, man. You put on some weight. What's up? Come on. To see the kids and everything. And I rush into the house, see my old family, Demetrius and the kids. And I take my Bill Gates roll out. And I go to do what I do, just drink real fast. And when I do that, I go into a seizure on the first hit of super alcohol back. And I go into a seizure, and I'm on the floor, and I can't move. And my family member, Demetrius, he looks over at me, and I'm frothing at the mouth. And he reaches into my hand, and he takes out the $1,150. Now, normally, I'm a rock and roller. I used to look like you, Joe. I was like, well, I would take him out. But my limbs weren't working. I couldn't move. And he takes that from me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm frozen from the mouth, and I don't think I'm going to make it. And he leaves me in the house with his two babies and his wife. Man, that was like the worst day of my life. The worst day of my life. Staring at that door for 12 hours, praying that he came back for stuff for me. Knowing that I just pawned my car. I don't even have money to get across back town. I'm just thinking, maybe he went to like Colombia to buy me some stuff, and maybe it took him a long time from North Minneapolis. I'm just staring at the door with my, I'm just praying, oh, please. I never want to go through that again. Why did I even get on that story? Where was that?
A crab. The mom with the crab.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Because that story just took me. That's why I don't tell it in rooms. It just brings me back to that scene. To that scene of hopeless and utter demoralization. The worst feeling of my life. Rats running around in the ceiling, or something running around the ceiling. I can't move. My money's gone. I have no way to get back. I'm in foreign town, USA. I'm a 25-year-old Italian laying on the floor of Demetrius's house. 7 years later, after I sobered up, I got sobered up that year. 7 years later, I thought to myself, you know, it really wasn't that bad, that thing that I went through. 7 years later, I was thinking to myself, you know what? I know I had a problem with that specific substance, but maybe if I drank wine, like out of a nice glass, you know, like out of a really, really nice glass, and like we were speaking about the other day, Karen, out of a decanter. I was going to drink wine out of a decanter where they aired it out on the table, like red wine. Beaujolais, I think it was called. I saw myself as a fine Beaujolais drinker. Now, I want to be just totally honest with you. I have no idea what a Beaujolais is. I never drank a Beaujolais. The closest I ever got to red wine was Manischewitz in my house with my father. That's as close as I ever got to a fine Chianti or a fine wine of any type. But in my mind, I thought that maybe I could drink again. And really, I thought that maybe I could do everything but that one thing that landed me on the bottom of the floor. See, if you have alcoholism, if you have this disease, if you have this thing that only you think about yourself all the time, there is going to come a time that you will actually think that you can eat crab again. You will actually think that maybe this thing has passed. So although I think it's amazing that there's people inside here that 20 plus years and 30 plus years and coming up on 40 years, I think it's incredible. I also know, as we all found out this week also, that we only have today. And nothing ensures my sobriety as the work that I do today to carry the message of what he's done in my life and not to take any shortcuts. You know when they said to us, where's Dougie? When they said, he's right here. we're going at the Cleveland House, and the owner says to me, will you start a meeting here at the Cleveland House? My schedule is packed. On Monday night, I run a meeting over at Lighthouse Community Church. On Tuesday morning, we're at Bark, and we have another study, and we have Victory. On Wednesday night, we have our Bible study, the Recovery Bible Study. On Thursday night, we have the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
On Friday night,
salsa.
We got salsa. We got salsa with the guys. We got salsa. On Saturday night, we're here. On Saturday morning, we Sunday's church. Sunday night is my grandparents. My grandfather is 89 years old. And then in between there, there's seven or eight sponsees. So when the guy says to me, can you start a meeting here? Can you actually bring the meeting here to the house? Not just can you speak one time. You know, when someone says, can you speak to you one time, you're off the hook like in an hour. Well, yeah, of course I can speak in an hour. But this guy says, can you start a meeting? Which means now you've just dedicated your Saturday mornings for almost life to this person. And you know what we said, Doug and I?
Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when it says in here, when it says in here that you're going to have to act the good Samaritan, what they mean is you're going to have to get out of your own way. It's not always going to be comfortable. My friend Josie comes from vocal, you know, not close to here. I was going to say something in Spanish, but it's actually a dirty word that my wife told me, so I didn't say it. You have to act the good Samaritan every day, if need be. It may interfere, it might mean many loss of nights, sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money and your house, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerate trips to police courts, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any hour of the night. If that's not going on in your life, you don't have enough new people in your life. Because for me, and I'm not sure if that's the way it works for Tony and Gail, for me, new people excite me. When JJ calls me up with his stuff, it's so ridiculous. I love it. I'm like, tell me more. I eat it up. The sickness that comes over the phone. And the other day, I said to one of my sponsors, can you actually say that out loud to yourself? Who was that? Who was that? I said, can you actually say that out loud so that you can hear it? If you don't have that, you become stale. You become crouchy. You become well. You become cured. You become a bleeding deacon. A bleeding deacon is one of those people that sit in the room and judge other people on how they share and how their program is. Fred could become a bleeding deacon. Not only does this guy double-digit sobriety, he's also a little bit up there, you know, older than me. He could be sitting here as a bleeding deacon. The guy's at four meetings a week that we go to. Four meetings a week, all different parts of town. He doesn't even live close to here. He could just be resting on his laurels. That's not what we do. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan is an interesting story. They said to a teacher, tell us who is your neighbor. And the rabbi said, there's a Jew walking down the street and a Samaritan walking down the street. And the Jew got beat up really, really bad. And he's laying in the street. And the reason I bring up Jews and Samaritans is they hated each other. It was almost like, well, we lost our only member of Narcotics and I was here, but it's almost like NA and AA when you see them at a convention and then like squaring up shoulders off. Ah. And then these two factions hate each other. And there's a Jew, he's lying in the street and he's beaten and he got beat up by a robber. He was on his way to temple, he got beat up by a robber. And some religious people from his same faith, because they're on the way to temple, they walk fast by him. And a Samaritan who actually hates him, or hates the idea of him, I know nobody in here can relate to being prejudiced or bigot. He actually comes on the other side of the street to the Jewish man that's laying in there all beaten and battered and torn. And he helps him up. And he goes over to a hotel or a hospital. They're back in it's 2,000 years ago, so I mean it's not like a chain, but it's, you know, a little thing. And he says to the innkeeper, here's the money for this person. I need you to take care of him, and I need you to take care of him until he's well. And if I owe you more money when I come back through town this week, next week, I will pay you that money. And then the teacher said, the rabbi said to them, who is your neighbor in that story? And they said, the one that went across the other side of the street and took care of him. And he said, exactly that. And go out and do the same. You see, those that have been forgiven a lot owe a lot. And I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven an awful lot. Awful lot. And I owe a lot. I owe so much, I'll never be able to repay God our Father. I'll never be able to pay Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll never even be able to pay Richie for the kindness that he showed me when I was in a treatment center 8 years ago. But you know what? Every single day when I try to act the Good Samaritan, as the big book talks about it, and I try to carry this message, you know, usually it's a successful day. Do I answer every single phone call that comes in? Unfortunately, I don't. Do I want to? My desire is to want to, and that's, I guess, where the try is. I try to be available, but there's only so much time in the day. But if you're not picking up any of those phone calls, if you don't have any new sponsors, if you're sober a couple years and nobody's asking you to sponsor, you're not trying very hard. You are not doing your part. That's just my interpretation. Here's the second part that I want to say. If you feel that you could just stay sober, do what you want, act like an animal or a princess inside the program, you are not practicing these principles in all your affairs. You want to know what the principles are? Honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, brotherly love, justice, perseverance, spirituality, and service. And you know what's behind? You know what's behind the most important one for me, step one? Honesty. Honesty. If you're lying in all your affairs, if you're lying in some of your affairs, you're not even practicing the principle in the first step. If you're saying you're somewhere and you're not in that place, you're not even practicing the first principle in the first step. So how could you expect to carry the message? And let me tell you, there's some people inside this room that are just warriors for service. Warriors for service. But I've also known warriors for service that had no love. And if you don't have love for the people you're servicing, as I shared with you a couple weeks ago out of 1 Corinthians, then it's just like a clanging sound. But the ones, the servants that I know that carry the message and they do it with love, there's nothing like it. How many people needed to be loved when they came in and still need to be? I need to be loved. I need to be loved. Do I need tough love sometimes? Does Jerry Bear have to call me up and just abuse me sometimes? Absolutely. But that's still love. Stevie D, he abuses me a lot. But in that, if I look really carefully, there's some love in there. I called up Todd the other day, a person that I love and respect, and he wasn't at our home group. And this is a guy that maybe even has more time than me. Maybe he's a guy coming up on 9 years, right? Or 10 years. Coming up on 9 years, so we have exactly the same amount of time. I said, listen, where were you? Where were you? Because that's what we do. There was a guy that's a member of our home group that has 22 years. I didn't like something that he said in the meeting. I told him. Did that reap repercussions in my life? Absolutely, but that's what we do. We try to carry this message to alcoholics, and we practice these principles in all our affairs. My principles today is that I actually has had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I actually have had that. And then I fail tomorrow, and then I need to have that again. You know, people come in and say, I've recovered. A guy 2 weeks ago, 4 years, he's recovered. That's nice, but I'm in recovery. I thought I was recovered at 10:30 this morning after that meeting on the beach with the pool and hearing you guys share. I was like walking on water. I walked into my workplace. I realized I'm in recovery. And I realized, as great as the meeting was this morning, listen to this, that I actually needed a meeting tonight. I walked in here needing a meeting. I've just been to one of the greatest meetings that I've been to in a long time. I heard shares from people that I love and respect, men and women. See, I'm a member of a home group, and it's men, and it's awesome. It's awesome, but you forget, I forget sometimes, the power of great women shares. I forget. I'm like, that's so Al-Anon. No, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. When you can be in a meeting and have no agenda and just listen and just absorb. And so I left that meeting this morning like I was on fire. I was like, it's all about God. You know, walking in, blessing people in the parking lot, you'll be healed. You know, I was just walking along the beach, trying to see if anyone wanted to be baptized as I was walking along. How you doing, brother? You need to be baptized? Well, you're good. I was just walking on water. I was like, whoo. But those mountaintop experiences, let me tell you about those mountaintop experiences. Moses had to come down the mountain with the tablets. He had to deliver the 12, not the 12 steps. Dan, where you going, Dan? Where you going?
Commandments.
He had to walk down the mountain with the 10 commandments. He had to come down the mountain with the 12 steps. That's right, Moses wrote the 12 steps right before he parted the Red Sea. He had to come down the mountain. So I'm walking across, I'm walking out of the meeting tonight with my books in my hand, which is kind of my my blanket. That's my blanket, my Bible, my big book. That's my Linus. You know, I feel safe when I got my books in my hand. And walking down, people tell me the meeting was great, and Robin, Rachel, and I see you guys, love you guys, oh, brother, sister. And then I walked into work. Nobody was telling me how great it was. My wife was telling me about myself. The customers would tell me about myself. The employees would tell me about myself. I was telling me about myself. All of a sudden, I became the greatest guy in the world, and I was a loser. I'm walking around, you're a loser. You are such a loser. The tapes were going around in my head. An hour earlier, I was ready to rewrite a new program called the Cleveland House Program. I was going to rewrite it. Submit it to General Service, and who knows, maybe a new program was going to spin. An hour later, you're a loser. Then I got a call from a young man that was here earlier tonight. Your roommate. I got a call from a guy that's a member of this meeting, and he was telling me about something he was going through. Listen to this, we're almost done. He was telling me about something he was going through, and I wanted to hear what he was going through. You see, I was able to get out of my own self by helping somebody else. I was able to forget my little problems, my little designs, my issues. And let me tell you, my stuff is so small. People that I love this week that work for me, they lost twins this week, twin baby girls. I was there in the hospital room with them right after they delivered, and it was... You know, that's big stuff. People inside this room that I know, I don't know if have been through stuff that you people can't even possibly imagine. And yet the broken shoelaces are just as important as the major stuff if you have alcoholism or if you have self-centeredness. You don't even have to have alcoholism to have self-centeredness, you know. Self-centeredness, and I see a bunch of non-alcoholics in here. Any of you guys have self-centeredness? No, not you too. You're fine. You're good. Totally, they have moved on to the next level. I have self-centeredness. And yet, when the young man called me today and he was talking to me about a meeting schedule, and I remembered what Dick Drysdale told me when I came back, Eve, when I came back, it was one day, and I was living with this exact table. Eddie and Clay and Mason, this exact table. And then another guy named Todd, who's watching The Matrix tonight with Paul Osmond. I'm sure that's really important. Get that on tape? Good. Dick Drysdale said to me, get a meeting schedule. He took me over to the side and he said to me, get a meeting schedule. And I said, what does that mean, Dick? What does a meeting schedule mean? I go to meetings every day. He said, no, Steve, you need a meeting schedule. You need to know where you're going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and whatever other day of the week. And then he said to me, if you give 16 hours of your life, 16 hours of your life to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, you can do anything else you want the rest of the week. Now, I was just coming off a run. All I could do was think about getting high. All I could do was think about I didn't even think that I was going to make it 3 months. And he said to me, if you give 16 hours a week to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and helping other people, you can have a life beyond your wildest dreams. and then get a home group. And he said those things. Now, of course, I've told you that my sponsor told me to get on my knees and pray and develop a relationship with God, the creator of the universe. So I asked him, does a meeting schedule mean I need to go there every week? He said, that's what a schedule consists of, Steve. Yeah, that's a schedule. And so I started going with these guys, Melrose Park, another meeting on Tuesday where we were going to the 12-step house. Then on Wednesday, we had the big book study that we started. Then on Thursdays, we had the I was going to the 11-step meeting at that time. On Fridays, was off night. It was date night before salsa. It was date night with my wife. Now it's date night with the six of you. On Saturdays was an open night, which later on became the ninth chapter, which is a great meeting on Saturday nights. If you guys want to continue the Saturday night thing, we have a great meeting called the ninth chapter. Amazing meeting, same time as this meeting. And then on Sundays is family day. That's a schedule. And it started to develop into a life. The schedule started to develop into a life. And then the next thing I needed to find out is I needed to be open-minded. So when someone said to me, do you want to come to church? And I said, no. But I was living in a halfway house, and my wife said to me, would you like to come to church? And I thought it was a date. And I said, yes, absolutely. And I went to church, because I had an open mind. Not really an open mind. I had no money. But when I got to there, I heard something, and then I started following God. The God. You know, not some made-up God that I had made up the previous 7 years. Let me just say this. I thought you can stay sober and not drink and not drug and do anything else you want. And I was involved in a men's group that believed in that also. I was going to a men's group that believed in the exact same thing. They were like, you can do this and you can go with this and you can read this. And that's the way they talk. You know, when people start talking like that in a meeting, they're usually not practicing these principles in all their affairs. When they got to make faces and speak about women in a disrespectful way, or if you guys are in a women's group and they got to speak about men in a disrespectful way, it's usually not people that I want to like be around. And I was in a men's group like that, with the cursing and the testosterone was flying and hitting me in the neck. Ooh, it was like. And I thought that was normal with men. I joined another home group where none of that goes on, none of that. As a matter of fact, I never heard of a woman getting bashed in our meeting. Ever. That's because Maddie has planted a bug on Matt. We make sure that, you know, everyone knows. I hang out with men that respect women when they're around and when they're not around. I hang out with people that love Alcoholics Anonymous and talk great about the program when no one's looking. Myself, I believe that integrity, the way that I show up in front of you right now, is exactly the way I'm going to show up in the parking lot tonight. And all of that is a direct result of what God has done in my life, to me submitting to the program, to taking the most thorough third step in my entire life, making a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God. My life and my will. And then as the result of these steps, I have had a spiritual awakening, at least for today. I try to carry this message. And I really do practice these principles to the best of my ability in all my affairs. Thanks so much for the last 20 years.
This means if you intend to harm yourself or someone else, pick up a drink, please share it now. Anyone with burning desire? No?